four parashiyas. Rosh Chodesh is, of course, is on Friday, and Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. And before I start, I wanted to also apologize. I was hoping that we would do this year in shul, but for many people, it's very difficult to get out right now, and then it's really hard to park. So I hope the next time we'll be able to make the shiur in person. I'm certainly happy to do that. We're having the shiur in shul. It's just that a lot of women expressed their hope that we could do this last time. We could do it on Zoom, so it's just easier for now. And also, this way I can be comfortable. So, Mr. Shem, in the future shiur, hopefully we'll be back together in the Beis HaMedrash. So this Shabbos is Shabbos Shkolim. Shabbos Shkolim. Shchodesh, the first of the four parashiyos, we're entering into the time of Mishnechnas Adam Arvin the Simcha. And it's also the last week of the weeks of Shavuot. And every year for many years during this time, I talk to you about relationships, about Kedushas Habayis, our homes, children, husbands, wives, and so on. And I want to talk to you about that also this time. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know exactly what this half a shekel was, even though we don't know what's the complication with the Machzor shekel, but that somehow Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what this coin was, this half a shekel. And that Hashem took out from beneath the Kisei HaKavod, Hashem took out a Matbeah Shel Eish, a fiery coin. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kazei Yitnu, Zei Yitnu, this is the half shekel, this is the Machzor shekel. So we don't know what that means. There's some talk about it. But we understand that Hashem wants us at this time of the year to find within ourselves a matabeya shel eish, to be able to find that fire inside of ourselves and to bring it out, that matabeya shel eish. Because only with that will be mishnechnes adam marbim b'simcha, marbim b'simcha. Let me explain what I'm talking about over the course of the next 50, 55 minutes or so. I know that not everybody who's listening is married, and I apologize if for any reason that makes the single chevra uncomfortable. Mitzvah Hashem, everybody should be happily married in the Mazdik Yisha. But those who can still think back and remember the chuppah and the shevra brachas and the words that we heard under the chuppah, Asha Bara Sasna Visimcha Chasn Vakala. Asha Bara Sasna Visimcha Chasn Vakala. The Simcha Vachasn Vakala is something that Hashem created. It's a Bria, it's something new. It's not just a regular Simcha. It's Asha Bara Sasna Visimcha Chasn Vakala. That means this joy, this Simcha of a husband and wife of a Jewish home is a Bria, is something that the Baruch Shalom created in the world. That's able, when it works, that's able to bring an eish, a fire of unbelievable simcha, joy, when it works. And it's complicated, as everybody knows. I always give a bracha to the chasanim and the kalas, that they should be zeicher, there should be a kesher shel kayama. Should be a kesher shel kayama, it should be a permanent kesher. And I tried to give over the bracha that my wife and I received just a few months before we were married. The Satmar Rebbe Shlusi Yelena. It was one of the last times that the Satmar Rebbe was actually seeing people privately. And I had this chus to go to the Rebbe a short time before he passed away, to go to the Satmar Rebbe in Monroe to get a bracha for my wife and for myself, for the chasana. It was just a couple of months away. And when I went to the Rebbe, I brought the kvittel, the note, I wrote our names, and I gave it to the Gabbai. The Rebbe was already very, very, was very old, and he was not well. And I gave the kvittel to the Gabbai. And the Gabbai asked, and I explained that the Chasna Kala and the Chasna is going to be an Elul. And I was asking the Rebbe for Bracha for the Chasna. And And the Satmar Rebbe reached out his finger to me like this. And I didn't know, I was afraid. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I just stood there. And the Gabbai said to me, take your finger and put it into the Rebbe's finger. And I said, I don't want to do that. He said, just do that. And the Rebbe was sitting there like this with his finger reached towards me. And I put my finger next to the Rebbe and he took it and he closed it. He was squeezing tight. I remember I felt it tight. And he gave a little bit of a smile. It was so hard for him to talk. And the Gabbai told me that that's the bracha the Rebbe is giving you. There should be you should be tied together, you and your kala, till 120. You should be a knot, a kesher, a knot. And now when I see a chasen and he tells me that the chasen is coming up, I'm saying, look, I'm not the Satmar Rebbe. I'm not the Satmar Rebbe's little toenail. But I receive such a bracha. So I reach out my hand to the chasen and I say, I'll try to give you over some of that current, some of that electricity that I got from the Satmar Rebbe on that day, and to give a bracha that it should be a kesher shel kayama, should be a permanent seal. Now the word kesher, you all know, means a knot, to be bound together. But in modern Ivrit, in the way that it's used also in Eretz Yisrael, there's a word tikshoret. Anybody who's been in Israel a little bit knows that tikshoret means communication. It's also used for the media, but tikshoret means communication. From the word kesher. And what that means is, on a very basic level, that the beginning of any true kesher, of any kesher, of any knot, chas and kala, parents, children, Rebbe, and students, depends on good tikshoret, communication. Now, what I'm going to explain to you now about kesher and tikshoret is based upon a ha'ara that was made by one of the greatest mashpiyim of our generation, Rav Yitzhak Ginsburg. We should have a Rafu Shleim and Yeshua, one of the biggest mashpiyim Chabad Bechlal in the whole world, of Yitzhak Ginsburg, made a very, very deep ha'ara that I want to share with you to add a little bit of my own to make it easier and more understandable. The first couple that ever existed, Adam and Chava, listen to the names. And it could very well be that you've heard this before. Adam comes from the word demama. Adam, demama. Demama means shtika. It means silence. Adam, demama, shtika means silence. Chava, Eve, Chava, the Sfarim tell us, Chava comes from the Lashon of the Pasuk that we're familiar with in the 19th parak of Tehillim. Yoyim l'yoyim yabia oimer, v'layla l'layla yechave da'as. Yechave da'as. The word yechave means to express. To express. Chavez da'as means an opinion. To express an opinion. So Adam and Chava means, on a deeper level, silence and speech. Adam is demama, silence. Chava is the lashon of Yechave das, to express, to speak. So the yichud, the Torah is revealing to us at the beginning of time, that the essential yichud, kesher, of Adam and Chava, of a husband and wife, is a yichud, a unification of the two worlds of shtika, of silence, the male quality, and demama, and chava, yechave das, dibur, speech, to be expressive. Let me share with you another new word. It's the way, or it's not, it's an ancient word, but it's being used in a new way. And it has to do with the title of tonight's shir. In Yechezkel, you all know that the beginning of Yechezkel reveals the wondrous vision of the chariot of the Merkava. Now, what it all means is a great mystery, and it contains within it all of the deep secrets of how this world is a reflection of the world above. And over there, the pasuk says in the first parak, pasuk dalet, ve'era v'hine ruach sa'ara ba'man ha'tzafon, this Yechezkel says there's a stormy wind that's coming from the north, anan gadol, a great cloud, ve'esh mislakachas, a fire that's flashing, v'noigel osaviv, and a radiant light that surrounds it, u'mitoicha ke'ein, here's the new word, the new old word, u'mita, and at the center of all of this, the storm and the cloud, and the fire and the light, at the center of all of this, ke'ein ha'chashma. So the Navi Yechezkel is telling us that in this great vision that he had of the chariot, there is this energy. The Chazal struggle with this word chashmal, and they teach us that chashmal comes from two words, chash and mal. Chash means silence. Like it says in the pasuk, itim chashos, or eis lachashos. It's a lashon of silence. Chash. Mal is a lashon of speaking. Mal is a lashon of speaking. Memalolos means to speak, to express. Chash mal. So the Navi is revealing to us that in that vision of the chariot of the Merkava, there is this mitzvah somehow of the chashmal, of those two kaiches, of silence and of speech, which is the image of ish v'isha, a man and a woman. And you all know that ish and isha share the letters, eish, fire. And Chazal tell us that ish v'isha shechina b'neihem. So the fire of the Merkava, of that divine chariot, is a hint to the man and the woman, the husband and wife, the koach of silence, which is a male characteristic, a difficulty to express, and the koach of the woman, which is to be able to speak and to express. And the letters that they share, Aleph Shin, Eish, is the fire of the Maaseh Merkava, the interfacing, the integration of those two worlds of speech and of silence. Now, the Zohar Kaddish and the Maral and many others from tell us that the essential distinction between a man and a woman, between an Ish and an Isha, is Moach and Lev, the intellect and the heart. This has nothing to do with intelligence. Both are intelligent and both have strong emotions. The question is, what is the Iker, what is the essential go-to of a man and the go-to of a woman? So the Maral, Zohar Kaddish, and others teach us that the male, the man, the Adam, the one who is silent, generally looks at the world through the prism of the mind, of thought. Whereas the Iker, Olam, the main headquarters of a woman, again, has nothing to do with how bright or brilliant she is, but the Iker of a woman is the heart, is the emotions. The moach, the mind, is the bechina of, is that quality of silence. Even the letters chash, the word chash, which means silent, chash has the letters ches shin, which is from the word choshev, to think. Whereas the heart is the inyan of outpouring of emotions, and therefore it leads to more speech, to the ability to express oneself. The three koiches of the mind are keser, of will, keser, chokhma, and bina. We're not going to talk about das, that's a separate shir. Keser, the crown, chokhma, and bina. Those are the three koiches of the mind, of the intellect. And as you all know, there are seven kaiches of emotions of the heart: chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yesod, and malchus. All of these kaiches, the three kaiches of the intellect, which primarily refer to the male quality and silence, and the seven kaiches, which are referring primarily to the feminine ability to emote and to express, all of these kaiches together, when joined together in a healthy way, are this chashmal, this electricity that brings together chash, silence, thought, and mal, speech and emotion, the husband and wife, the male and the female. So now what we're going to do, that was the hard part. Now what we're going to do for the rest of the time is to try to understand this inyan of hiskashvus, of the kesher, of that knot, of the kesher shel kayama, that creates, that generates this electricity, this fire, this matbeya shel esh that I was talking about at the beginning, on all 10 levels, the three of the mind and the seven of the heart. And this really takes around 4 hours. I'm going to try to do it in around 40 minutes. So let's listen quickly, listen carefully. The first of the kaiches, as you all know, is the crown, is keser. Now, Rav Ginsburg explains, and we know, that in truth, keser, the crown, is higher than the intellect. It is really the deepest will. It's higher than the intellect. It's the etzem, it's the essence of who the person is. It's the ani. It's something that's the deepest part of who we are that can't really be explained or can't really be expressed. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches, Mila b'sala mishtuka b'trein. That means that if speech is worth $1, then silence is worth $2. The meaning of that is that there are two types of silence. One type of silence is when people just have nothing to say. And sometimes a guy and a girl, they go out on a date, and it's a very, very awkward and very painful. They're sitting there and they're just trying to come up with words and they have nothing to say. And if that goes on and continues to go on for you might give it a second chance, but it usually means that this is not a shidduch. But then there's another kind of silence. It's when you have people who are so deeply in love and who might have already been married for 70 years with Hashem's help. And there's so much that's there. There's so much that's there that the deepest level of tikshoret, the deepest type of communication is what? Shtika, silence. With the little couple that's on their first date, the fact that they're silent is because they just have nothing to say to each other or whatever. They're uncomfortable. But you all know that the greatest and deepest, most amazing comfort is when two people are at a place where they don't have to say anything. And maybe that couple will get to that, you know, after a couple more dates, that they also maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 dates along, they're not going to have to say anything to each other at that point because they're in a place that's called chash, silence. They're in a world of demama. That tikshoret, that communication of a husband and wife who are able to sit together and be happy, just being in the same room. There was a Jew who lived some years ago, not a long time ago, by the name of Jay Litvin. Over the years, I've read some of his essays. It's kedai to look online and look up Jay Litvin. He was a Lubavitcher Baal Tshuva that was an absolutely magnificent writer and thinker who tragically died young. He was exposed to the radiation from the Chernobyl explosion because he was involved in running a whole camp and school for Russian Jews who survived Chernobyl, children, and in the end he died from cancer at a young age. And he has in one of his essays, there aren't many, unfortunately, Chabad.org, I think, they put them out. My wife and I first saw these around 20 years ago or so, even more, just the beginning when things were being put up online, but I'm sure you can find them now from Jay Litvin. So he has an essay about the favorite night of a little boy, and that little boy is his favorite night is when he's an only child. It's when he's sitting with his mother and father in the living room, and this is like a throwback to years ago, and before there were cell phones, and the mother is knitting, and the father is reading a book, and the little boy is playing with his train or something on the carpet on the floor, and the little boy in his thoughts was feeling that this is my favorite kind of night. My favorite kind of night is doesn't need there to be any noise, any conversation. The favorite night of the child is I didn't want to say silent night, but it's a silent night. That silence of not needing to say anything, because the emotions are so deep, the love is so real, and it's so present that it's coming from the place that's called Kesa, the crown. And in that place, there's no Indian of speaking. No words could possibly express the beauty of that kind of night, the beauty of the Chasna Kala, who under the chuppah, they don't speak. The Rebbe, the Baal Tanya, has a whole term, Oig Yishoma Bi'ara Yehuda. Kol Sosn, Kol Simcha, Kol Chosn, Kol Kala. We don't hear. The Chosn says a few words under the chuppah, and the Kala is silent. Could be the last time she's going to be silent, but the Kala is silent. Od Yishama Kol Sosna. We are going to hear yet the Sosna, the sound of joy, the sound of rejoicing, but the deepest moment of the Chasna Kala, still silent. That's Keser. Silence. A Tikshoret that is expressed in silence. Without words. Not only without words, but when the little boy and his mother and father are sitting in the living room that night, they're not even looking at each other. They're just together. They're there together. They're together. You know, when I was much younger, I used to go on different trips around the country and some other places to talk, to give Torah. It's become much harder. And at some point when I was doing this, I realized that I can't go anymore without my wife. I don't want to be anymore. Even though I'm busy the whole time talking, but when I come back, or even when I'm out there at that shul or at that place, I know that she's there. And that's enough for me. When I come back to the room, she's there. As I must speak. It's enough. Then you have the second level that's called Chachma. After Keser, we're still over here. Keser is the crown, comes Chachma. Chachma in Pnimis and Kabbalah, Chachma means the ability to see things in a deep way. It's the koach of Re'iyah. With a husband and wife, with a Chasna Kala, who are looking at each other under the chuppah, it's called in Shir Hashirim, Einayich Yonim, the eyes of two doves, Einayich Yonim. The Chazal tells that those sweet birds, the doves, that when they look at each other, they can't take their eyes from the time that they first see each other. The Zach and the Keva, the Chasna Kala of those birds, they can't stop looking at each other. Like in the old song from the 50s, I only have eyes for you. And that Koach of Chachma is to see. And here, the chashmal, the electricity between the husband and wife, that tikshoret, that kesher, is also one of silence, but it's a silence where they're looking at each other, One of the exercises that therapists that I've heard of have used when dealing with husbands and wives who are having some issues, is the therapist will try to bring at some point the husband and wife to just sit in the room together and to look at each other without turning away, to be able to look at each other, to begin with 30 seconds, 60 seconds, to begin just looking at each other without speaking, just to look in each other's eyes. I've spoken about this very, very often, and I've noticed this change even as a teacher over the years, especially with guys. And I've spoken about this a lot, that when I go into a classroom of bachrim, of boys, or when I'm talking to men, eye contact is generally an issue. Eye contact is an issue. Men are dragging around like this a lot. Bachrim, if you try to just look at somebody in the eyes, it's very hard. It's a challenge. So chachma means to see. In this tiksharet that we're talking about, in the kesher of a husband and wife, it means for a husband and wife, for a chasm kala, to be able to generate this electricity of tiksharet, of communication, by looking at each other, by seeing each other. We're still in a place of the mind, which is the male quality, which is chash, machshava, silence, without talking, but to look at each other. Now, the third quality, or the third koach, you all know, is bina. Bina. Bina, the Sfarim tell us, means many things, but on the most basic level, bina means to listen. To listen. Lahavin. When we say Shema Yisrael, we're saying to ourselves, listen, Yisrael. Listen, you're a Jew. Shema Yisrael. We're begging the deeper part of ourselves to listen. Pay attention. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now here, bina means where we have a husband and wife, a chas and kala. One of them is talking. Bina means the ability for the other to listen. But listening here, so one of them is starting to talk now. We already have conversation. We're emerging from the silence of the mind, and we're entering into the world of speech. We're just crossing over into the world of speech, but only one of them is talking. The guy and the girl, chas and kala, husband and wife, one of them is talking. And bina means to listen in a deep way, in a deep way. In Yiddish, to daher, to listen, to pay attention in a very, very deep way. Listening a deep way means that I'm listening to and I'm hearing not only the words that you're saying, but I'm hearing the person behind the words. I'm hearing the feelings that are in the words. Or like in the story that we don't have time to go into right now, but the story of the Shmuel Zaidi, that he learned true love in a bar where there were two drunken peasants, and one said to the other, you don't really love me, because if you would love me, you would know what's hurting me right now. You would hear me right now. You don't hear me. Of course you hear me saying, how you doing, how's everything, but you don't really hear me. You don't hear what's going on inside of me. When a guy and a girl are dating, one of the biggest, most important things that we need to ask our children and that they need to pay attention to is the other one listening? Do you get a sense that the other one is hearing you? That the person is not just waiting for you to finish talking and then starts talking? That's not what it means, bina. Bina means lehisbonein. Lehisbonein means to contemplate. It means the silence, even in yourself, not when someone's talking to you, that you begin to think of what you want to say. That's not called bina. Bina means absolute silence, to listen and to give yourself completely over to the person who's talking to you, to the one that you love. This is tiksharet, communication, kesher, and to hear the person and to hear what is hurting that person, even though maybe she can't express it, he can't express it right now. But love, that Indian of Ahava, of Tikshorat, means I am listening to you. I want to understand you. I am silent and listening. So far we have spoken about the three qualities of Keser, Chochmah, and Bina. Again, Das is a whole separate shmuz. Keser, Chochmah, and Bina, the silence of the world of thought. So in those midos of Keser, Chochmah, and Bina, there's absolute silence, a love just being together in the same place and knowing that you're there with me and that you're thinking of me, being in that place. Chachma means looking at each other, being able to see each other in a loving way, communicating with our eyes. And Bina means hearing each other. One being silent and allowing the other one to speak, to express, and to hear what that person is thinking and feeling, not just what he or she is saying. Now we're going to go into the world of speech, into the actual world of seven types of diburim, seven types of speech. So we begin with chesed. The first mida of the emotions is chesed. Chesed, of course, means ahav. It means love. Chesed means ahav. And tikshoret, communication in the midah of chesed, of ahava, means, in a very simple way, diburim pshutim shel ahava. It means people being able to speak to each other loving words. Loving words, not the way that they're used in modern secular society where people just stop saying, okay, have a nice day, I love you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about it being just some casual official thing, like, you know, on the phone that you could press a smiley face or a thumbs up, so you have this official "I love you." That's not what it means. Ahava chesed means when two people mamish are able to share loving words. Rav Ginzer points out that the words in Hebrew "ani ohev oscha" or "osach," I love you, which have been made so cheap these days, that the words "ani ohev oscha," I love you, the gematria is exactly shechina beinehem. The divine presence is there between them. The divine presence is holding the chasna kala, the husband and wife, together. Ani ohev oscha. It means sincere and honest words of love, and those are needed in every home, between husband and wife, between parents and children. In the past, perhaps they were needed less, but in our times, they're needed more. You know, on a very simple level, Mishenichnas Adar, Marben B'Simcha, the Sfarim tell us that Adar is a Lashon of Dira. It means a place where people live. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shusan used to say, it's not just that Hashem wants to live with us, a Dira B'Tachtonim, with us in our lives, but we need to make it into a Lechtege Dira. You know, you could live in a house, but there are no lights, it's dark. The Baruch Shalom wants us to have diras, have homes that are lichtig, that are lichtig. And one of the most powerful ways that it should be a lichtig home is there are diburim that are warm, diburim that are shining words that are of love. So that's chesed. That's chesed. When husbands and wives, parents and children fill the home with words of ahava, the shechina is there. The shechina wants to be in such a home. It's a lichtig home. Now, what about gvur? We move on to the next type of speech. Gvur. Now, everybody's scared by the word gvur, right? Because gvur means strength. It means also din, restraint. Gvur, in the world of communication, in tikshoret, gvur means constructive criticism. Constructive criticism. Hashem's book created the husband and wife. At the beginning of the Torah, we're taught that a husband and wife are supposed to be in a situation, in a relationship that's called Eze Kenegda. Eze Kenegda means together, they help each other, and they're also against each other. Against each other doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom that they're fighting. Let me explain what it means to be against each other. You know, ever since we're kids, we've heard this term, constructive criticism. It means to build somebody up, to help somebody through criticism. That's what it means, constructive, to construct, to build criticism. There's a beautiful word in Lashon HaKodesh, hey ayin resh hey, he'ara. Ha'ara means when you point something out. You make a ha'ara. Hey, ayin, resh, hey. You're pointing something out. There's something that you see your husband doing that is not the way that it should be. Not just because you're annoyed, but it's something that doesn't speak well of him. It doesn't reflect well who he really is, because he's really so wonderful. And this, what you're seeing, is not good. Now, you want to help build him up. You want to build him that he should be able to be the person that he really can be and wants to be. And this type of behavior, this is not becoming for him. So you point it out. That's called he'ara, he'ayin reishay. And the Sfarim tells that the word he'ara is a lashon of le'orer. What does it mean, le'orer? It means to awaken, to wake somebody up. It means that there's somebody who's sleeping, and you wake that person up. Now, there are different ways to wake a person up, you know? There was a bacher that spent some years growing up really as a ben bayis in our home, and he used to have three or four different alarm clocks to get him up for davening. And I still had to go and scream and yell at him, get up already, get up, it's time to go to shul, get up, go to shul. So sometimes to wake a person up, it requires a very loud alarm. That's chaval, that's unfortunate. The ideal way to wake up a Jew who is sleeping, sleeping means who is not doing what he should be doing in life, or is doing something that he shouldn't be doing in life, and you want to wake him up to something better. You want to help him or help her in a constructive way. The ha'ara is one that is loving. It's constructive. It's spoken with ahava. You know, the word shofar, you know, the Rambam tells us that the shofar is blown. Tkiya shofar is to wake us up, right? It's to wake up a Jew to do tshuva. And even the word shofar means shifru ma'aseichem. Improve yourselves. You could be better. You could do better. You're not doing as well as you should. Shifru ma'aseichem is the word shofar. But Hashem wants us to blow the shofar in our marriages and as parents in a gentle way as possible. As gentle way as possible to wake the person in our lives who we love, to wake that person up, that he could do better. She could do better. So this is the midah of gevurah. It is a midah of strength. The shofar is din, and it's a midah of gevurah, but it comes from love. It comes because I know that you could do better, and I'm trying to wake you up to something in yourself that's better than the way you're behaving. That's called gevurah. That's called tikshoret, communicating, strength, but in the way of love, in a way that's constructive. And there are ways how to say that. We don't have time to go into it, but there are many, many types of expressions and ways that this can be communicated, that there can be a ha'ara. You can point out something, but in a way that doesn't destroy, that doesn't insult, that doesn't embarrass, that doesn't humiliate and degrade. Often, that's what's going on in marriages. There is criticism, but the criticism is destructive. It's painful. It comes with personal anger and frustration. It destroys a relationship. But gvura of tikshoret, of communication, that builds the relationship. It builds, it makes them closer to each other. It brings to appreciation for what you did for me in my life, how much you've helped me grow in my life, and I appreciate it. Now we come to the midah of tiferes in communication. Tiferes, you all know, means balance, it means beauty, harmony. Lifa'er means, on the most basic level, lifa'er means to praise, to compliment. Mifa'arim means to compliment and to praise, to tell somebody how beautiful you are, to praise. That's the meaning of tiferes, to praise. In a tikshoret of ahava, in a communication of love, in a relationship of love, again, husband, wife, parents, children, and so on, where there's a tikshoris, a kesher, a desire to make a kesher of ahava, one of the most powerful and effective means of strengthening that bond, that kesher, is through compliments and praise. Diburim toivim. This was the most delicious cholent I ever had. The most delicious cholent I ever had. You're beautiful. Whatever it is, diburim, that praise, that compliment. I appreciate what the thought that you shared with me, the Devat Torah, it was so beautiful, it was so deep, it was so meaningful to me. Rabbi Nachman's Torah of Azamra, to see the Nekudas Taivas in another person. And by praising the good in the other person and complimenting the good in the other person, you actually, as Rabbi Nachman explains, you bring out all this good. All that you're praising and complimenting is brought out in the other person. You know, we have one of our girls is the most amazing baker. Besides that she's sweet and smart and adorable and kind, she is the most fantastic baker. This past Shabbos, we had chocolate chip cookies. I never tasted any chocolate chip. My whole life, I'm looking for the perfect chocolate chip cookie. This is mamish. My chani, she made such a chocolate chip cookie. And you know what's interesting? My wife and I, way back in one of the bungalow colonies that we were in, I don't even know if this is the one that had yet any like real running water and electricity. You know, one of the early bungalows. You know, chani baked something in her group. You know, in her camp group, she in the day camp she baked something. I don't recall it being edible, but I made a huge deal about it. A huge deal that I said that, Chani, you are a baking sensation, a baking sensation. And I always said that to her throughout all of the years. I always said, Chani is the baking sensation. If you would open up a bakery, you'd put everybody out of business. Your mom is the most unbelievable baker. And it's an amazing thing how through the years, it's gotten better and better and better. I'm not saying that I'm the one that brought that about. She had a certain interest in it and a certain excitement. But the praising and the complimenting, it's a very powerful thing. It's a very, very, very deep and powerful thing. It's really the whole Torah in Rabbi Nachman of Azamra, Reish Pei Beis, which everybody should be living with, Reish Pei Beis, Lekut Aman, Rabbi Nachman's Torah Azamra. When you praise, when you see the good, when you speak about the good, you mamish, bring out that tchuna, you bring that out in the person in a very powerful way. So in Tikshoret, in the communication of a kesher, of Kayoma, between the Adam and Chava, the silent one and the one who speaks, between the one who's more in thought and the one who's more in expression, the Adam and Chava, both have to engage in Teferis, the Midah of Teferis, communicating and strengthening the bond between the two of you by praising and complimenting. Now we come to Netzach and Hod. I will talk about them together. They go together, Netzach and Hod. Now, you know that Netzach means many things, eternity, but it also means on a very basic level to be victorious. Nitzachon. Netzach is a lashon of Nitzachon, of Nitzchias. Like we say after Megillah learning in Shoshanis Yaakov, Chuasam Hayisal Netzach. There was a Yeshua that took place by Purim. There was a victory, a salvation, and that Nitzachon is La Netzach. It's forever. It means a victory that is everlasting, Netzach. One of the names that we call Hashem by is Hashem Tzvakos. Tzva means an army. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as the king or the general of the army. The angels are his soldiers. The Jewish people are his soldiers. We're his soldiers. He's the mefaked. He's the general. He's the commander in chief. The Baruch Shalom is Hashem Tzavakos. Hashem Tzavakos. Now, when there's a war that's taking place, and being in this world is a war every moment, when there's a war that's taking place, and you have an army that's successful, in that army, there must be a very clear line of communication between the mefaked, the commander, and the soldier, the commander and the soldier. The commander is the one who gives pikudim, who has commandments, who commands. And the chayal, the soldier, is the one who receives the pikudim, the pikidot, who receives the commandments. Now, in every relationship between, we'll use the husband and wife, that's the ikkar of what we're talking about now. In every relationship, there are going to be commands, there's going to be the mefaked, and there's going to be the general, commander-in-chief, and there's going to be the soldier. Now, that switches all the time. Sometimes the wife is the one who is the commander-in-chief, and the husband is the soldier. And sometimes it's reversed, that the husband is the one who is giving, so to speak, the orders, and the wife is the chayal, is the soldier. So what does that mean, lamaitz? What that means very simply is the following. Even if you say to your husband, honey, would you please watch the children today? I'm going to spend some time by my mother, or I'm going to spend some time, I'm taking one of the kids someplace. Would you take care, please, of the other kids? Would you please take care of them? Even though you're saying it in a very nice way, lemaisa, you are communicating a certain pikuda. You are communicating a certain order for the day. It's not like spoken like that, but it's said gently. Even when you're saying, would you mind, and please do me this favor, take care of the kids. Or you say, or the husband says to the wife, would you please mind and do me a favor and help me with the following thing. So whatever it might be between a husband and wife. One of the most important things in tikshoret, in communication, in a kesher shel kayama, in a bond of a husband and wife, parents and children, is to know how to ask for things, to communicate commandments and orders in a way that is sweet, beautiful, not in a way of a tvia, of that's demanding, not in a way that's nasty, in a way that's given like in an army, but in a way of tachanun yidabirash, in a way of sweetness, of asking. And this goes back and forth between the husband and wife, both ways. That's called netzach. That's how you have an army in the house. Parents give orders to children, but how do you have the children do things? How do you have them become involved in doing things? You know, one of the things that kids love, and especially boys, is when the father says to the son, I'm trying to put up the sukkah, I'm trying to fix this, I need your help. Please bring me the hammer. Please bring me the bench. Please bring. The kid feels like $1 million because he feels needed. He feels that my father wants me. My father needs me. In a strong tikshuret, in a tikshuret, in a kesher of love, asking for things doesn't make you feel bad. It doesn't make the other person feel bad. It makes the other person feel needed, important, a necessary part of life. When there's a loving relationship, asking for something is not understood as a general barking a command. It's, I need you. And I can't live without you. I can't live without you. That's what it means to be as in, I can't live without you, so I need you. I need help with the kids. I can't manage. Or I need help in the kitchen. I can't manage. I need you. And when it's given in a loving way, it strengthens the kesher, that tikshoret of ahava. And what is hod? That's netzach. What is hod? Hod, of course, means todah. It means being grateful. It means thanking. That's hodoya. Hodoya means that when I say thank you, I appreciate all that you do for me. It's also, it's communicating this thing. It's communicating, you should know that by my thanking you, I'm telling you that I need you and that I cannot manage. I cannot live without you. Whatever that is, emotionally or things in the house, things in life, things with the kids, whatever that might be. When there is that kesher, that tikshuret of thankfulness, of gratitude, of expressing appreciation to your husband, expressing appreciation to your wife, expressing appreciation to your children for all that they mean to you, all that they do for you, that is saying, I can't live without you. I mamish can't live without you. Now we get to the final two. Please be marchal me. I might be 2 or 3 minutes over time, but that's also the wonder of Zoom. You could just walk away and no one necessarily notices. So, and anyway, I'm not makbid. Yesod and Malchus. This would take a long time to talk about. Yesod and Malchus. Yesod means foundation, but it means on the deeper level, it means sod. It means secret. I once told you the story about how the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch was looking at the little baby, the future Rebbe Rayatza, Yosef Yitzchak, when he was a baby in the crib, and his heart was exploded with so much love. He didn't know what to do, so he ended up presenting him years later with a Maimer Chassidus. And he said that one night when I was watching you in the crib, I had such a love for you, I didn't know what to do. It wasn't enough to just kiss you. And he gave him, this is a Chassidish kiss, and he gave him a Maimer Chassidus. He says, I wrote this Maimer in Chassidus because of that feeling that I had for you. Yesod means a kiss, but it doesn't have to be just, it's not just a kiss physically. In Shir Hashim it says, Yishakenim and Yishikos Pihu. We ask Hashem to kiss us again. And Rashi tells us from Chazal, it means, Hashem, you reveal to us, the Torah and Har Sinai, but there's so much more about you that we want to know. There's so much more about you that you haven't told us. Yesod means when a husband and wife share secrets with each other. I don't have time to explain this. This itself is a big sod in the world of Yesod. It's a secret. It's when a husband and wife have certain things between them that they speak about that no one else in the world could know about or should know about. There are certain secrets that they share. They don't have to necessarily communicate them, but sometimes they do share those secrets. And by sharing secrets, that's a way of kissing, a neshika. And sharing secrets creates an unbelievable feeling of closeness, of intimacy, that they have secrets between them. A husband and wife, a chasan and kala, have secrets between them. It's their secrets. And they share those secrets. Nam tik sod. The basic look in the halbra, nam tik sod means that there's something that I want to share with you, and only with you. There are secrets that are between a husband and wife. There are gestures, there are looks, there are codes. You know, Rosh Hashanah, at the table, we have the simonim, that we put out certain foods and certain things on the table. And it's not about talking, they're just simonim. Every husband and wife, they have certain simonim, they have certain signs. And those signs is a way of communicating unbelievable intimacy. It's a way of communicating unbelievable intimacy. Like I once told you the story of the chassid, the old chassid, that he used to go to the Gemara Shim of the Beis Yankiv from Ishbitz, and the most unbelievable, he doesn't remember all the shim that was so deep, but he remembers the way that the Beis Yankiv kissed the Gemara after the shiur was finished. When he kissed the Gemara, he said, I don't remember the shiur, but the way the Rebbe kissed the Gemara, that's kept me a Jew. There are secrets that just you can't express. It's things that's there that they share. Sometimes they talk about these secrets, otherwise they're just looks. And that leads to Malchus. Now, what's Malchus? Malchus means, Rav Ginsburg says, that Malchus means, now this sounds funny, listen. Malchus means small talk. Sichas chum. It means that when all of the levels that we've been talking about tonight, all of the other levels, the three of the mind and the earlier six of the emotions, when those are functioning in a healthy way and there's electricity, the chashmal is good, there's good electricity, there's strong electricity, the chashmal, those two worlds of the moach, the lev, of husband and wife, those two worlds are fused together, the wires are connected, and there's good electricity. So then one of the most enjoyable things that makes a husband and wife so close is they could talk narishkeit to each other. They could just talk, small talk, Dvarim shel mabekach. Not chalila, anything that you're not allowed to say. Not chalila words that can't be spoken. Small talk stam. This one, Yankee did this, Sarla did that. What do you think about the elections? What do you think about this business? What do you think about that business? And, I'm looking forward to the vacation we're going to go on. Small talk, dibur, malchus. That's when the malchus is so strong. The kingdom is so powerful. It's so intact. They're so connected to each other in such a deep way that there's something that's unbelievably intimate and sweet about talking about nothing in particular, just small talk. And there's something very, very deep about that. The malchus between a husband and wife and between parents and children. So I'm going to end tonight. I don't have time for the story I was going to tell. So I'll just share with you. If you have a chance, look in Likutei Maharan, in Rabbi Nachman's Likutei Maharan, Torah Samech Hey. It's a very, very hard Torah, Samech Hey. And if you look in Siv Beis, Rabbi Nachman is talking about talking, speech. And Rabbi Nachman asked me to communicate this to you tonight, to take a look in this Torah. And he wanted me to give each and every one of our wonderful tzadkaniyas, the women of our shul and the chaverus who are on this, who were participating, wanted me to pass along, Rabbi Nachman asked me to pass along a bouquet of flowers to you. What does that mean? It's a very wonderful sign of love when you give somebody a bunch of flowers. Isn't that? That's a very big thing to give somebody flowers. So Rabbi Nachman, I'm just going to read to you a sentence at all. He called Dibur v'Dibur Hu Olamole. When a Jew speaks to God, because remember, all that we were talking about tonight, Chasnakal, husband and wife, and extraordinary communication, everything we're talking about has to do between us and Hashem as well. Everything. Hashem, us and Hashem as well. Everything we're talking about. So Rabbi Nachman says, He called Dibur v'Dibur Hu Olamole. Every word that a Jew speaks is a whole world. When a person gets to the davening, he says words of davening. He's gathering flowers and roses. Like a person is walking in the field and he's in love and he wants to gather together. And he's gathering together flowers and roses to bring to his beloved. When a Jew davenes, Rabbi Nachman says he's gathering together letters and words and he's making a bouquet to give to the Baruch Shalom. This is my love for you. These are the letters and the words that I've gathered to give you. He joins them together. And he's not satisfied with bringing just one bunch of flowers, of roses. He wants to get, I don't know any other names of flowers. He goes to gather other tulips, other words of davening. He brings together letters and words. And Hashem is both, who could describe the pleasure, the unbelievable pleasure, the nachas ruach that Hashem has when a Jew brings him words as bouquets of flowers. He gathers together letters and words and brings Hashem these letters and words. Rabbi Nachman says, the Baruch Shem has from these flowers the greatest nachas. So chevra, let's try to give flowers to each other. Till 120. Let's try to gather together good words, good, warm, loving words, feelings, thoughts, to give flowers to each other till 120. So the time will come of Oid Yishama Be'er Yehuda, V'chutz Yishan, Kol Sosim, Kol Simcha, where the voice of the Chasim, the voice of the Kol will be heard loudly in the streets of Yerushalayim, the voice of the Jewish people and the voice of Hashem will be heard under the Chuppah again, and will be Zaychim Hashem. Only be Mishnechnas Ada will be joining together with Hashem in that Dira B'tachtom that he always wanted to live in together with us, with the Gula Shabamites, from maybe Amen or Amen.